श्रीला गुरुदेव की जय, श्रीमन महाप्रभु की जय, श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, गौर भक्त वृंद की जय, गौर परमानंद हरि हरि बो। सो प्रणाम टू ऑल ऑफ यू एंड गुड मॉर्निंग फ्रॉम रैलिक North Carolina. I arrived here yesterday. So here we are, preparing ourselves for the Vyasa Puja of my Guru Maharaj tomorrow. Three Guru Purnim, day after tomorrow, and a whole series of activities here. So I hope to see some of you here physically or Zoomically. see you soon. As we usually say, but before all these activities today, we wanted to share some brief further news, as you may know, in connection to the official, if you will, launching of my first book called Inherent or Inherited, Bhakti in the Jiva, according to Gaudiya Vedanta. Here, I would like to share some, here is a printed copy, the first one that actually I will be given. First printed copy that will be given in hand to my Guru Maharaj as an offering, as a gift, birthday gift, Vyasa Puja offering tomorrow. So basically today we are officially launching the book, which is already available on Amazon for those who would like to obtain that. That will be available. I will share a link. Let me share with you on the chat here. I will share a link where you can get the book. There it is. As you can see, there are three formats for the book. It will be hardcover, hardbound, paperback, and Kindle, electronic version for anyone who may like in that way. Of course, also I will having some copies here in North Carolina, wherever I will be going through this U.S. tour in the next 3 months and a half, eventually Europe and so on. So also that's an option. But well, the point is today is the official day of release of the book. And interestingly, of course, as you may know, some of you are connected now to the Spanish translation of this lecture. So you may be wondering what's the meaning of this meeting about the book that is in English. But the point is that we are also planning to have it translated into Spanish. It has already started. So let's see how much does it take. But maybe, hopefully, not that many months. And eventually we will share also the news of the Spanish version of this one. No? So for those who would like to see much more information about the content of the book or whatever, of course, we will share something today. But I have already shared in detail some thoughts on www.bhaktiinthejiva.com. There we have shared some clips and some summary of each chapter and some reviews and endorsements and so on. So today, basically as you may imagine, it's the first time in my whole life I'm writing a book. So it's the first time I'm launching a book. So whatever I'm doing in this particular meeting today is the first time ever. So please bear with me. So I wanted to a little bit to share mostly my personal experience in going through the motions of writing a book, writing a first book, and writing a book on this topic in particular, and in connection with the different feedback that I have received during the whole period of writing it, which has been almost like 3 years or something. Since the very inception, original seed conception, till the finished product, if you will. So somehow the notion came to me already like more than a year ago when I was in the midst of writing the book. That to write the book, and I know I'm not being original at all with this, and I'm sure many writers, many authors have already expressed themselves in these terms. But to write a book is like to have a child. I'm sure many of you have already heard this. Of course, in my case, and maybe a little bit more particular because I'm a Swami, so technically speaking, I cannot have biologically a child, but somehow I can. I have had. And so I'm now going through the experience of Vatsalya, literary Vatsalya, if you will, in connection with parenthood, but in connection to a work, to a book that has expressed itself through me, basically. So, yeah, this is my first book, so there's so much learning, so many things I've learned in the process of writing it, that unless you enter, you really enter fully into the dynamics of writing a book, you cannot even glimpse all the implications that it entails. And implications, I do not mean in a technical way only, but in so many aspects of personal growth and transformation and reconversion, if you will, in further depths of all that our tradition implies. So this idea came, no? This is like a labor situation for me, no? With all the different stages that the birth of a child are included there, no? For example, first of all, I feel I went through the preconception. Like you have the preconception stage where the two parties agree, okay, let's invoke one soul into our lives and so on. So in this case, for me, the preconception of this child, book child, was basically receiving the advice of the Vaishnavas to write a book on the basis of certain articles that I had already written, some months before. So I wrote some articles to begin with in Spanish some years ago. Then I put some version of it. I wrote one long article in Spanish. It was like, I don't know, like 20 pages or something. So then someone suggested you can make a series of articles in English based on that longer Spanish article. So I did that. And then came the advice to, you may do a book out of that. And of course, it's not just about do a book and the book is there, but in our particular school of thought, we are always seeking after the blessings of the sadhus, of our guardians, of our well-wishers. So for me, all that was part of this preconception stage before actually entering into the work, obtaining the necessary shelter, if you will, the necessary connection for whatever I was going to go to do will be fruitful. So that will be the preconception of the child, if you will. Of course, then comes the conception stage, which has to do with conceiving. Okay, I have a basis, I have certain articles I've already written, but I mean, you cannot just do copy-paste from articles and now they are a book. I, in a very naive way, I thought like that in the beginning. I thought I have these 11 articles, so I will make a book with 11 chapters. Each article will be one chapter of the book, and that's all. But, I mean, I sometimes it is said, now, if you want to make God laugh, tell your plans to him. So I did that, and it seems he laughed really loudly. Lots of hasya. Lots of funny mood there. So, of course, as you can imagine, the articles didn't turn out to be the book as I thought it would be. Actually, the book expanded like four times longer than I was thinking, and so many nuances and avenues taking me. So, but I started in the conception stage. I started to conceive what to write, how to write, before writing it, giving some thought to it all. And then came, if you want, after conception, it followed the stage of impregnation, if you want to call it in one way, which is actually writing the book, which was a very interesting stage because also it coincides with the time of history, if you want to put it like that, 2 years ago, where the whole COVID issue exploded. I just traveled from Argentina to the U.S., with the idea of staying there for 1 month, and I ended up there like half a year because all the borders were closed, and that's what the whole project started to manifest, if you will. So I was stuck, if you will, in almost one single place, and I started writing it after receiving again the advice, the blessings after preconception, conception. And that became part of my daily life. It became part of my sadhana. I almost started writing, I don't know, like 3-4 hours in the morning before lunch. And then after, in the afternoon, maybe sometimes 1-3 hours more, depending the day. So sometimes, yeah, one day I was writing 8 hours, sometimes maybe 6, 5 to say the least. But you can imagine if you multiply 5 hours, 6, 7, 8 hours per day of doing something every single day for almost half a year, it becomes part of you, basically. You acquire some scars, some impressions of something, some vasana, some inclination is there, some habit is formed, and a conjunct of habits makes your so-called personality, if you will. So I must confess that after finishing, I'm going a little bit ahead now, after finishing the main writing of the book, after doing that every single day for so long, I felt kind of in some sort of limbo. Like, what to do now? Because I used to spend 5-6 hours of my day doing this, and I really liked that. And then I started to connect artistically with that, in the sense of writing, of course, is a form of creation, and it's a way of expressing our Kriya Shakti, or our creative energy, as we have spoken in previous lectures. And for me, this has always been an important part of my life. I always like to write. I never written a book, but I've written lots of articles and things here and there. And I always like music and so many other things connected to creativity. So now it took this particular turn of writing a book. So after that was finished, I was like, so now what? Should I continue? Should I do not continue writing? Should I make this part of my life, if you will, of my day-to-day job, devotional, not job, of course, but a way of putting that, of my daily sadhana, actually, in the service of Sri Guru and the Vaishnava. So, of course, I asked my Guru Maharaj about that, and he gave approval, he gave blessings. So trying to serve him and the Gaudiya community and the rest of the world through some thoughts that may express through me. So interestingly, yeah, because after finishing that book already, an idea for a second book came to mind. And it still is there, and it's working. I have not officially started writing that second book yet, because I prefer to close one particular chapter at a time and continue with the next one. But already I have like 70 pages, word pages of notes for the second book. So somehow some inspiration has just come, some mercy is coming, actually. You know, I take it like that. Some blessings are there. So if the blessings are there, that's the active principle. That's the only thing required, basically. Of course, I have to do my thing, but the main active principle is the blessings from above. So, in this way, impregnation stage, actually writing the book, part of my daily sadhana, then the gestation period, if you will, in the context of writing, doing lots of research and lots of rewriting and correction. And I will explain a little bit more in detail how that took place. And lots of help that I received in that connection. Eventually have the labor moment, you know, when the book is officially finished, but maybe not fully finished. Some details are there yet. And of course, there comes raising the child, which generally is not as you expect. You shouldn't be a father, mother, which is attached to the result. I want my child to go in this particular direction, and so on. So similarly, with my book, although before it's officially published, I shared that with other people in the context of peer review, and so much insight came that changed my perspective in so many different ways, and that added to the whole content of the material, and the editing, and the re-editing, and the re-re-editing, and I could continue saying re-re for an hour, but I don't want to bore you to death. And the layout, also so many layers in the layout that I was not aware of. So I was really like, I mean, I was having a child, but I was feeling myself a child, a baby, just learning from scratch about so many things. So that was a very interesting experience also. No? Like when you start writing a book and you have some original idea, but eventually the book starts to take a life of its own, basically, and takes particular direction. And you feel that you must obey that, you must follow that. That is, in one sense, it's not your book, in that sense. You are not the master here. If you want to engage in transpersonal authorship, as sometimes I like to call it, it means you are meant to be an instrument. You are not meant to be the main character here. So in this way, as a good writer parent, if you will, which is again the only type of father I can be in this lifetime as a sannyasi, I have to be detached from the result of all my efforts. So again, I may want my child to go in a particular direction, but eventually something unexpected may happen, will happen, and it did happen with inherent or inherited. So again, at one point the book start to show another face, start to show its own identity, if you will, its own life, and I felt myself more like witnessing all that was happening while, quote-unquote, writing. I mean, I had to put my name on the front covers, sorry for that, but I know that that has to be done somehow. But actually, in a very subjective, personal, intimate way, I was not feeling like I am the author, I am the one who really did it all. I tried to make that clear in the acknowledgement section of the book. When I put that, generally when someone writes a book, the stance taken by the author is, I'm writing the book, I'm the author, and all and outside there, outside of me, if you will, it's the audience. So other one will read, I will write. But in this particular case, at least, I felt someone else is writing through me, and I'm reading, I'm witnessing what's coming. So I really take that as a great blessing, because I consider that, at least for me, for someone as proud as me, to be the success that mercy is having on me. I mean, as we like to always speak, no? We pray so we can be defeated by the strength of grace. That's the whole implication in the Kijai. There's so many Kijais that we invoke on a daily basis. Let grace defeat me, if you will. And only then I will be a victor, actually. So that started to show very clearly from the very beginning of the writing process that this was not about me, if you will, being an author, being the main character, and so on. But me being one more piece of the whole puzzle, if you will, and contributing with whatever I have to contribute, but allowing the other elements of personalities, as you may like to put it, to do their particular contribution. And on top of that, also, I had the very good fortune of having my own Guru Maharaj, Ambishanpat Srila Bhaktivedanta Tripurari Swami Maharaj, going through at least the very first half of the book. And he didn't have time to go through the second half. He's quite busy with his own book, which all of us hope may manifest very soon. But I have the very good fortune of having him as, if you will, substantive editor of the first part of my book. And again, a very nice epiphany came while going through that process. Because I realized, well, actually, and I shared that with some devotees at the time, that was last year, I think, that, okay, officially speaking, he's editing the book, and he's suggesting some things, put this, take this out, and so on. But ultimately speaking, in a deeper way, he's editing me. He's editing me, because in one sense, the book is... I'm writing the book in one sense again. It's an expression of me. It's an extension of myself. In one part at least. And Sri Guru is editing that. And actually that's the very idea of having a guru. The guru is your editor-in-chief in the life of a disciple. Again, an editor is not someone who will impose himself, who will be a dictator, as we know. That's not the role of the guru, but a very intimate, close, wise friend who will have our best interest in mind and will have enough experience and wisdom as to share whatever needs to be shared in order to upgrade our own presentation. So that idea really came very strongly one day. I remember even the moment, the day where I was and so on, that actually, yeah, the book is not being edited, but I'm being edited. at the end of the day, it's a whole journey for me to increase my condition as a sisya or as a disciple. So I feel very, very blessed and very grateful for having been able to glimpse at those realities, because without them, who knows how one may react in these cases. Being a Gaudiya, being a person who has a certain philosophy of life, so you are expected to conduct yourself in a certain way, even while authoring a book. I mean, it's not that, okay, expect from me certain Gaudiya standard in certain circle, but not while authoring the book. In that case, let me be whatever I like to be. No, ideally we want to integrate. As we always mention, transcendence for us is integration. So everything needs to fit, if you will, into the equation of transcendence, the type of transcendence, the level of penetration into transcendence that we want to attain as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So again, authoring a book is not exception to the rule. Authoring a book is not an excuse for not keeping increasing our discipleship, our sisyatva. So that on one side, real blessed by being edited, and hopefully remain open for that to continue happening for the rest of eternity. Being edited by Sri Guru and my guardians and well-wishers. On the other side also, there was a lot of contribution, as I briefly mentioned before, not only by my own Guru Maharaj, not only by certain very close God brothers and God sisters of mine, but even by members of other parivars, but other Gaudiya schools or families, in which we may find certain differences regarding practice and conception and so on. And even I have received lots of contribution from what I call Purva Paksing, or someone who basically represents the Purva Paksha, or the opposing stance than the one I'm trying to share, in this case in my book. So there was a lot of contribution from different sides, also lots of contribution from Gaudiya practitioners, Gaudiya acharyas, Gaudiya sannyasis, from Gaudiya scholars who are Gaudiya practitioners but are also working in the academia. Are also, I received very interesting feedback and support from scholars about Gaudiya Vaishnavism who are not necessarily practitioners per se, but are quite specialized into studying the details of our specific sampradaya, school of thought. So many of them, the latter ones, they not only generously endorsed my book, as I have been sharing during the last months, but also, again, they share very very comprehensive insights, which made my work, again, not only a piece directed to the Gaudiya community, as it was originally conceived. Again, it's one of the different turns in which the work took its own life. But it, of course, originally, again, the work was conceived in 40. This is a piece of food for thought, hopefully, for the Gaudiya community in terms of this particular point of tattva, whether bhakti is inherent or not in the jiva and all its implications, and how to engage with it, with such idea. But eventually, again, due to the advice and support and from different scholars, the book ended up being a material that I think, and many scholars told me that was already happening, will help scholars studying our tradition to engage in further research about Gaudiya Vedanta, what Gaudiya Vedanta has to say in this particular, in regards to this particular topic that my book is about. So, of course, I won't mention every single name of every single person that gave support here, because there will be no end to that. I try to do that in my book somehow or other, in the acknowledgement section. But at least I would like to highlight a few names that gave some special contribution that I'm specially indebted to, with your permission. So, of course, apart from my Guru Maharaj, who already I mentioned what did he do in so many ways. To begin with, giving the initial blessings and continued blessing in the form of editing the book, editing my person, and so on. Also, I would like to pay some special homage to a very dear senior Vaishnav who recently passed away, who is Srimandulal Chandra Prabhu. He was basically the very first person who told me, after reading the articles on this topic, he suggested, it would be good if you write a book about this. Again, after that, another devotee, Prabhupada Noga Prabhu, also suggested that. But Dulal Chandra Prabhu was the one who initially suggested that. So in some way, this present book today is a little offering unto his feet. Although he's not physically present to participate in this meeting, I know somehow the offering will reach him wherever he is. And wherever he is, that's wherever we want to be. So I'm especially blessed to have a connection with such a personality in connection to my presentation as well. And apart from them, I would like to thank among more than the 25 scholars that endorsed my book. A special gratitude goes to Srila Krishna Kshetra Maharaj, who very kindly agreed to write the preface to my book. Krishna Kshetra Maharaj is a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He's an ISKCON sannyasi, guru, and a very well-renowned scholar as well, and a dear friend of my Guru Maharaj, and I consider him also a dear friend of mine as a senior friend, if you will, god uncle. So a special gratitude goes to him for agreeing to share some very nice words in the preface of, in the foreword, sorry, of the book. I said preface, the foreword. And also a special gratitude goes to Advaita Das, Edwin Bryant, who also is a Gaudiya scholar who wrote the preface to the book. And again, this came out of him. He very generously offered to write that. So I'm especially grateful and indebted to them. And also a special gratitude goes to Sriman Abhishek Ghosh, or Krishna Abhishek Prabhu. His secular scholarly name is Abhishek Ghosh, who is a Gaudiya Vaishnava, of course, disciple of Tamal Krishna Goswami, who also is in charge of the Institute for Vaishnava Studies, has worked quite closely with Satyaraj Prabhu in the Journal of Vaishnava Studies. And apart from sharing his own endorsement, he also recently, some months ago, just before the book was laid out, he shared deep words of encouragement. And at one point he told me, Maharaj, your presentation carries the weight and the quality of a university degree thesis. So I would like to help you and facilitate everything for you to submit your presentation, which is still in partial fulfillment, for obtaining a PhD degree, which is a degree in Doctor of Theology, which is almost similar to the PhD degree in connection to the Institute of Vaishnava Studies. So we are in the process of that. I asked my Guru Maharaj, he gave blessings for that, mostly as something that may facilitate sharing our teachings in different educated circles and so on. So also some special gratitude goes to him, and of course to all of you. In conclusion, this was a group work. Again, I have to put my name somehow there, but as an author, but I would like to make you all part of this and to include everyone that's supporting in so many ways here. So going through this experience of writing the book, I would like to share some brief words in that connection. Again, I always liked to write from very early childhood, but it was not in my mind to write a book on this topic. I was starting to entertain the possibility of writing a book on another topic in a more introductory fashion, if you will, some years ago. But eventually, again, there was some other plan over there. And I was not properly conceiving how much growth was waiting there for me while engaging into the process of writing a book. And by thinking while you are writing. I mean, that's really demanding. The other day I was seeing an interview with someone was asked, well, the person was an author. So he was asked, okay, you write a book and how many copies do you sell? Oh, he sold a good number of it, of them. So maybe some few millions. But he said, yes. And the interviewer asked, yeah, but if you record an interview on video on YouTube, you have the same number of viewers maybe in a week. But for writing a book, that takes you maybe 2 years at least. So you reach the same number of people in 1 week than in 2 years. Or less than 1 week, because for doing the video, it may take 1 hour. So 1 hour versus 2 years, same number of people addressed. So, of course, the implication there was, why the hell you are writing a book? So the simple answer, and I fully agree with that, and I can fully agree now after going through that process, is that all the growth that you go through by writing a book, by having to write, by writing a book you have to write, and for writing you have to think. While you are speaking, for example, you have to think. While you are writing, you have to think. So especially if you have to write something that is not just like, I don't know, science fiction novel on a very superficial level or something like that, but you have to write something that it may be long and sophisticated and coherent at the same time. And it becomes longer and more sophisticated as the project unfolds, and it has to remain coherent in that context. So that demands more and more and more. But of course, necessity is the mother of invention, as they say. You know? So in the context of being that situation, so many things come to support. So I went to that experience that when you are trying to write something that is complex topic, you have to think about, you have to remain coherent, it has to have breadth and depth and so on. Not only the book acquires those attributes, but you as an author become more complex, more articulate, and ideally deeper in personality. And again, with this I'm not claiming this is my own merit or something like that, but a level of humility, as I've learned from my teachers, is to acknowledge that those things are possible and can happen and should happen in one's own life, but none of them are happening exclusively by one's own personal merit or effort, but so much gift is around us. We have to do our part, for sure. As Srila Siddhar Maharaj will say, I always liked his quote, making clear which are the degrees of our part and what comes from above. And he said, the only thing that Srihari is demanding from you is a little bit of collaboration to accept the gift he wants to give you. And sometimes that can sound like too much, but that's our part, our business. So in this way, by writing a book, I totally agree that one, if you really engage in the process, if you allow yourself to transmutate while doing that, you end up being more, again, complex, articulate, personality, comprehensive, and you can, of course, render better service and present a bigger, deeper contribution. And again, that growth is not something selfish, that, okay, I obtained that, this is mine, this is for me. No, this is not mine, this is not my merit, and this is not only for me. But whatever growth or complexity or comprehensiveness or whatever other virtue the book may in itself represent, embody, is also to be shared and extended to whoever may like to be part of that. So the book in itself represents an invitation for communal growth and community growth for the Gaudiya community. That has been one of the main motivating factors for me to feel, yes, this is worthy the effort. So that was my attempt in trying to communicate, try to remain relevant to many topics that I deem crucial. for the evolution of our particular tradition. Again, there is a very specific focusing towards the members of our Gaudiya community. And again, by the grace of my Guru Maharaj, by the grace of my Guru Bharga, I feel, I cannot deny that they have showed me different things that are there in the underlying background of the Gaudiya community, as with any community, of course. And I try to deal with those things in my book as well. There is a lot of that. I try, in other words, to bring to the forefront, to the limelight, certain issues that may be lingering even in the collective unconscious of the Gaudiya community, if you will. And I think there, it's important that some people are doing that. I'm not considering myself the only one who is doing that, or the one who is doing that in the best possible way. But I felt some call to do that, some inspiration and support to do that. And I'm trying to do that, hopefully in the spirit of contributing to such a beautiful family and community as the one that Sriman Mahaprabhu has given us. So I felt quite identified with this notion that sometimes it's tied with the very definition of a public intellectual, for example, which is basically to help people bridging the gap between what they profoundly like intuit, they have intuition in a deep way, but they cannot articulate. So to bridge that gap, what you have as a deep intuition but are not able to articulate, bridging that gap, for me at least, is very, seems to be very reasonable and valuable function of, yeah, of a sannyasi or of a public intellectual, of a Brahmin, put in like you want. But there has to be some group of people engaging in that particular task, no? Like putting subtitles to our subconscious, especially to our collective subconscious, if you will. So in this connection, this is a not so brief introduction to my own experience in going through the writing of the book. As I also shared in the flyer, the idea is to share a little excerpt of the book, to read some brief section of that. So I will read something in connection to whatever I've just described, the necessity I have perceived in the Gaudiya community, and how this book is an humble attempt to contribute to so many other contributions that are there. So I will read one part of the introduction, not the whole introduction, but one section. The introduction of the book is called A Story About Dialogue, Potential, and Integration of Complexity. So that's basically the name of the introduction, which basically introduces this very idea. So, here we go. It says like this. In our present times, the Gaudiya Sampradaya is in urgent need of conversation with itself, as well as of ample room for freedom of theological thought in order to transcend the cognitive rigidity and tribal thinking that so much characterizes the approach of the novice. Such a dialogue calls for our deeply reflecting on the different stances and internal tensions coming from this and other issues, rather than simply caricaturing them and their advocates for the sake of polemics. In this spirit, and while presenting a particular conclusion with logical and compelling arguments, this work is not actually written as a theological coup de grace, but as an open letter to the worldwide Gaudiya community, hoping to invoke among its members an ongoing, truly Socratic dialogue, polite and considerate, while offering our opinions without malice, but as a gift to each other. With that in mind, I have allowed controversy to nourish my own path. And trying to make my presentation as comprehensive as I could, I have not only included some of the main arguments against my conclusion, but also shared drafts of this work with many of those who I knew were of a different opinion. Not surprisingly, I drew enormous benefit from those interactions and came to fully appreciate their role in this presentation. It is likely that this book contains a great many ideas that will take readers out of their comfort zone. But if we are to develop the aforementioned conversation with one another, we must then bear in mind that this is the very purpose of any real dialogue between people who wish to provide a real contribution to themselves and others. And this is especially so for those who are members of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, a school of thought that distinguishes itself by its liveliness, breadth, and depth, fearlessness in venturing into the nuanced possibilities of revelation. That said, unless and until we are duly introduced into the realm of paradox and gain some universal grounding in such gray areas, we will not be able to ascertain the specific esoteric details of our ultimate goal in eternity, a world full of conundrums but full of harmony at the same time. In other words, unless we learn to accommodate all the non-integrated complexity that is still lingering and being perceived as an enemy due to narrow-mindedness and lack of insight, greater inclusivity will not be attained, and thus we will lack the necessary hosting capacity in relation to the highest prospect of spiritual exclusivity that is found in a place such as Braj, the land of love divine and final converging point of the Gaudiya Sampradaya. There in Braj, we will find the fullest and most perfect synthesis of seemingly contradictory elements, such as intimacy and majesty, all of them coexisting without any conflict whatsoever, embodying an ongoing creative tension that so much defines the very word Prem, something that moves in a zigzag way because it acknowledges, embraces, and harmonizes everything in its wake. In this way, the pilgrim's progress needs to be accomplished from the vantage point of integrated complexity. A new coherence is to be found, a unified field inclusive of all possible paradoxes which may result in our ultimate potential expressing itself in the convergence point of Krishna Lila, which is the most consummate form of innocence and a final return to simplicity after having learned from all the inevitable complexity. This bucolic lila of Braj is pregnant with paradox and unknown features that are decrypted on a daily basis, even by its own inhabitants, and the process for such a sacred consummation is known as bhakti, which has been termed not only the king of all knowledge, but also and especially the king of all that is secret. Krishna Lila is a highly complex theological reality, and if we are to enter it at all unencumbered by sentimentality and imitation of any type, we must learn to integrate the complexity of Tattva and Siddhanta, which will naturally take us to the simplicity, or more accurately, the full integrated complexity of Bhava and Lila. Although this book may admittedly be philosophically dense and theologically serpentine, such features represent only some of the many complexities that we find ourselves needing to attend to on a regular basis, both as individuals and as a community. This particular approach, designed to take us out of our comfort zone, may even be preceded by some suffering. Yet, any necessary discomfort that is pursued for a higher purpose will eventually transmute into power. And experiences like this have been unanimously confirmed to be the crucial point when actual learning unfolds. I must honestly convey that ultimately, this book is not so much about bhakti being inborn in the jiva or received from outside as it is about developing a truly wholesome attitude regarding revelation, one which is most conducive to allowing our ultimate entrance into the realm of Krishna Lila. I therefore offer the present work as food for thought for the Gaur Parivar, the family of Sriman Mahaprabhu, attempting not only to create some invigorating integration, but also to provide a meaningful sense of unity between its members in the context of a common sense of sambandha. Although we may have some differences in our embrace of both avideya and prayojan, there should be no difference in terms of sambandha. Sambandha has to be singular if it is to allow the equally necessary plurality of approach and prospect in the Gaudiya landscape. With the grace and direction of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, and in the spirit of rendering some pleasurable menial seva to them, I pray that my presentation herein may in time forge greater integration and camaraderie among the worldwide Gaudiya Fellowship and bring further dignity to Mahaprabhu's teachings in the eyes of all. But first and foremost, may we ourselves appreciate those teachings in the proper light, bhakti in the jiva being one of the most significant of all. So, that's an excerpt from the introduction to the book, a story about dialogue potential and integration of complexity. So for further details, you can get the book in itself. And regarding the rest of the book, of course, I won't go into the details of each single chapter. I have already done so, given some summary of each chapter of the book by recording some clips that are in my YouTube channel. Also, we have some talks on the topic with Namrasa Prabhu in his podcast, more than one. Of course, although after the talks, again, the thoughts continue unfolding and developing till the version that has come to the printed book now. And of course, thoughts keep unfolding. But just a very brief overview of what the book is about. Basically, the book is divided into two parts. First part of the book is called Classical Viewpoints, and the second part of the book is called Contemporary Viewpoints. So in the first part, what I do is to put the whole discussion into context, I try to speak about the need for an epistemic hierarchy and the importance of not engaging into one philosopher called epistemicide. So we may kill ourselves in the name of lack of epistemology in this case or invoking the wrong one. So trying to establish for us as Gaudiyas which is the ideal epistemological crown, if you will, crown jewel. And that established in the very first chapter, then I continue sharing an elaboration on the nature of bhakti as the very essence of the Swarup Shakti, which is Krishna's internal energy. And also in the context of that, I start to share some thoughts also about terms such as Sukriti, as it connects specifically in this case with the idea of bhakti, bhakti, Sukriti. And from that on, we continue to unfold notions regarding whether bhakti is inherent or not in the jivatma, but not only bhakti, but other expressions in connection to bhakti, such as siddha deha, is inherent or not, the experience of rasa, the experience of prem, and so on. Whether all of them are intrinsic, part of the intrinsic nature of the Tathasta Jiva. And of course, in the context of doing so, I will also analyze in detail many arguments to the contrary of my proposal. I say quote-unquote my, because actually I'm trying not to write the book sharing what I think about these things, but trying to be as loyal as possible to what our original revelation, now Gaudiya Sampradaya, is saying about that. I'm trying to think, of course, on the basis of that. So that's the first part of the book, which is classical viewpoints. And the second part of the book has mostly to do with analyzing some of the statements that more contemporary acharyas from our Gaudiya Sampradaya, or more specifically from the Bhaktivinoda Parivar that I belong to, analyzing some of those statements which seem to contradict what Shastra is saying in this regard. Again, I make it clear, seem, and how to understand and to harmonize them. Even beyond this present topic also, no? I try to share some possibilities that may prove useful in the moment of trying to harmonize, to understand, to put in context some of the different things beyond even this topic that some of our acharyas may have told. And also I have tried to present this particular section, the second part of the book, in such a way as to leave ample room for further dialogue and feedback, especially when one is not ultimately able to ascertain 108% which was the specific intention of this particular acharya 300 years ago when he said this. Most probably we won't be able to reach that intimate point, but we can engage in what I called spiritual conjecturing, which is, if you will, a discipline that has been allowed to happen in our particular tradition. Like you find different examples of that. A very famous one is Kavi Karnapur in his Gaur Ganodesh Deepika, and then you have other works in that same vein where different authors are thinking about who is who. For example, in Krishna Lila, how do they appear in Gaur Lila? And if you study the different books, or even one of those books, the authors are sharing different ideas based on different things that are being said. So it's a form of conjecturing in the context of revelation. So I've tried to engage in that sacred exercise as well, especially in this second part of the book. But again, in a spirit where further dialogue is invoked among the members of the community, among scholars, among whoever may like to take part in the discussion in the spirit of vada, or in the discussion that tends to look for the truth, basically, to be successful, to be victorious. And of course, that type of dialogue, that type of conversation and exchange is extended online for those who may like. That's why we have opened one Facebook page called Bhakti in the Jiva, for those of you who do not know. And the idea is that whoever may like to share thoughts and opinions, you may share them and we can continue speaking them and having different threads. Of course, we can also speak personally. But especially in the Bhakti in the Jiva Facebook page, that was a place opened for that particular direction, basically. And actually, I was thinking about having some Q&A at the end, but to be honest, I'm running a little bit out of time here because today I have some other engagements and commitments. So I will extend the invitation for Q&A, whatever questions you may have, whatever thoughts you may like to share. Again, on a personal level, if we see each other in the following weeks or months, or in the Bhakti in the Jiva Facebook site. So one more time before finishing, for those who have just connected a few minutes ago, here it is. We have the first printed version of Inherent or Inherited Bhakti in the Jiva according to Gaudiya Vedanta. So it is ready starting from today in Amazon, in soft bound, hard bound paperback, in electronic and Kindle format. I've shared the link in the chat here in Zoom, and I also shared the link in the YouTube streaming, so you can find that there. I will share that later also in my remaining social media, Facebook and so on. And again, I will be carrying some printed copies with me during this travels in the US and so on. So if you want, we can exchange this when we meet, basically. And again, for those who speak only Spanish, a Spanish translation is already being worked on. So hopefully very soon we have news about that. Whatever news we will have, I will be sharing them again in our site as well, www.bhaktinthejiva.com, as well in the Bhakti in the Jiva Facebook page and in my social media. And those who got the book and would like to share some reviews, I think Amazon also gives that option. So you are also invited to do so. And well, basically tomorrow I'll be, as I told in the beginning, offering this very first printed copy unto the feet of my Guru Maharaj on his appearance day, his Vyasa Puja. So I'm not only asking his blessings, but the blessing of you all. I hope to see you soon, whether in the US tour or see you Zoom online, but somehow or other we get in touch. And again, my gratitude and love for your support it's on a daily basis there, and that's a crucial part for this project to happen. So I hope that whatever has been written in these pages may somehow or other nourish your devotional path and give you further inspiration and insight to continue threading this beautiful process that we have received from above. So thank you very much again. I will close here. And again, if there are any questions or doubts or things you may like to share, we continue in the different threads, YouTube threads, Facebook threads, online private messages, and so on. Hope to see you very soon. Srila Gurudev ki jai. Sriman Mahaprabhu ki jai. Shri Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Gaur Pramananda Haribo.